Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen. We're coming to you today on a Monday instead of a Wednesday. We will come to you this Wednesday as well with a more complete group of panelists. Joining me today is Brian Brown. Brian, welcome to the show. Not a ton of time to chit-chat, go back and forth, do friendly banter because we are on tight schedules tonight. And a lot has happened in the NFL. So that is our goal tonight, is to recap you kind of on what has gone down over the past 72 hours or so leading up to, and now the first wave of free agency kind of in the books. And I'll just start with this, Brian. It's been, let's just say this. It's been made painfully clear to the casual NFL fan this year, you better build, and you better build through the draft, because free agency, unless you luck into a thing or two, just doesn't help out much more these days. A lot of peripheral signings, guys that you're filling out your roster with, good depth stuff, but today, I guess the biggest signing is Kirk Cousins, but other than that, we build through the draft in the NFL these days. I guess that's my biggest day one free agency takeaway.
And it really has been that way for a while in the NFL. I think just the nature of the league, nature of the sport, leads to a lot more of that kind of development. It's not as transient or plug and play as, say, the NBA or even Major League Baseball or some of the other major league sports where skill sets can plug in and just go, right? Like, football is such a more, I think that's part of why you and I both love it. It's chess. And so you can't just put a rook into a rook. You have to, or just plug a piece in anywhere. You have to put a rook where a rook belongs or a pawn where a pawn belongs. And sometimes it takes time for that pawn to settle in, because football is the kind of game, and I think some of this has to do with the fact that there are 11 guys out on the field. And also, just the game has developed so much, it is insane that it takes time for those guys to coagulate, to come together, to gel, use whatever term you want to use here, and really play well together. And so trades, free agency signings, all those kinds of things don't necessarily, they don't necessarily pay off the way that homegrowing your talent does, right? And I think a lot of this is similar, like football guys across the world want their guys, right? And they want to develop them the way they want to develop them, and they want to build them and turn them into these types of players that do this, that, and the other, that fit their system. And I think we see that at the high school level, you see it at the college level, and of course you see it at the NFL level. And I just don't know that I see it changing anytime soon. And some of it is cost, right? Cost benefit of, you know, like I saw a tweet earlier that was something along the lines of, like, the Falcons could have had Lamar Jackson for $200 million at age 26. Instead, they have Kirk Cousins at age 36 for $180 million. And I think you know what you get with Kirk Cousins, but at the same time, he's coming off an Achilles injury, and he is 36 years old. That's a lot, man. That's a big, like, it's not as bad as what Carolina fans are having to deal with today, but man, that's a tough pill to swallow in terms of, that's what you get sometimes in free agency if you don't make those moves. Or if, yes, you don't develop.
That's facts. I just have a list here, a running list of free agency moves, and I feel like we should just pick through the list. Let's start with Cousins. I'm going to put dashes by these as we talk through them. So I don't come back. Kirk to the Falcons. This does feel like the one free agency move where, yes, you express some concerns, but let me just play devil's advocate here. This is a Kirk Cousins who is coming off one of the best seasons of his career, going into a very quarterback friendly scheme, a Zach Robinson led offense. Zach Robinson, a Sean McVay guy. Kevin O'Connell, a Sean McVay guy. We've seen Kirk have his best seasons in the McVay-type offense. Atlanta has talent around them. Their offensive line is good. They have solid weapons at wide receiver with Drake London and a tight end in Kyle Pitts, who hasn't shown much, but he's never really had a quarterback quite like Kirk Cousins. You also have, you know, Bijan Robinson, who is, and Tyler Algier, who, two guys who are going to contribute massively to the running game. To me, I think the Falcons just made their draft and their offseason easy, and that is draft a corner high to put on that defense, because they could use another stud cornerback. Draft one or two wide receivers in those later rounds, when we have said there will be a lot of good wide receivers up for the pickings on day two, and move forward. And honestly, dude, run shit in the NFC South. Like, this is a team that I think made the right move in hiring. Oh my God, the coach's name just escaped me.
Raheem Morris.
This was a team that I think hit it out of the park in hiring Raheem Morris. All you've heard from people who are really plugged into the league is that Morris is one of the most beloved guys around the league right now. He was truly a huge part of that Rams organization and success. I think they've got the right guy running the show. I think they have a pretty talented roster that got a lot better defensively last year, which was where they needed to get better, and a roster that has some guys on it still that are, you know, serviceable within, as I pull up the old depth chart here, behind Drake London. I just feel like it's a good place to be. The division is weak. Well, we could talk about the Bucks here in a second. They brought back Baker Mayfield, but the Falcons just, they don't have much to compete with. And now that you have your franchise quarterback, and it feels like they've drafted well over these past 2 years, taking Bijan last year was maybe a little bit of a stretch, but you always want to go after a weapon. And now that you've got a coach that will potentially use them, you know, they've got some guys that they can kind of work with. They do need another wide receiver. Their second wide receiver right now is Van Jefferson. That's not great. But yeah, I just feel like the Falcons are in a really good position, and this was easily the best move made today, because this puts them in the mix to be a playoff team right away next year if Kirk comes back healthy. And sure, that might be a big if, but I'm willing to trust modern medicine, which has come a long way when it comes to repairing Achilles tears. And you know, I look at the NBA sometimes, like, Kevin Durant has had several major Achilles injuries and knee injuries, and this year he is averaging like 35 points a night in the NBA and dominating and playing like a top five player. It is not a death sentence, and he's close to Kirk's age. It is not a death sentence to be old and have an Achilles injury. I think.
Especially not at the quarterback position, right?
Yeah, I think it's something to consider for sure, but I think they, you know, if they're willing to make this signing, I think they've done the research, and I'm willing to bet this is a good bet for them.
Here's the thing that I think is most fascinating about it to me. Do you think this means that they still believe in Desmond Ridder?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean,
at the depth chart, like, he's still on the depth chart, right? Like, he's going
to
be.
He's still on the depth chart, but he's fighting to be your backup. Like,
right, with Heineke.
Taylor Heineke should be their backup. And like, honestly, if they were a super smart organization, I forget where they pick this year, but it feels like they do pick top eight. Like, if one of these quarterbacks falls and you say, you know, you get a Drake May who's projected to fall a little bit, and you just take him, there are other good quarterbacks. And I say they could, you know, use a corner. They still have AJ Terrell, who has played really well over the past 2 years, and Clark Phillips kind of slots in to be their, you know, their second starting corner. And you and I are both very high on him, and he played well last year. They could do it. They could stash a quarterback at eight and develop him. And who knows, in 2 years, you have Kirk as a trade chip. So I think it's very interesting to see. It'll be very interesting to see how they approach this year's draft.
I agree with you. And if you go to the Draft Boys unofficial draft board, right there at number 8-ish, we have Terrion Arnold, Joe Alt, and I have Brock Bowers directly at 8. So there are some high-quality candidates right there. There's also Jared Verse, the edge from Florida State. So it's going to be up to them in whatever way they want to really build. I think you focus on the defensive side of the football in terms of that first-round pick. I don't have doubts about Kirk Cousins. I want to rehash that just a little bit. My thinking is, if you have a choice between Lamar Jackson and Kirk Cousins, most everybody's going to choose Lamar Jackson. Is that fair?
I think that's fair, but I also don't think they were going to pay.
No, they weren't going to pay Lamar money.
They were going to pay that price. This is for what this contract is. Everyone's going to say good on Kirk, and he did. He got the bag. Yep. He has made so much money in the NFL by playing free agency like a fiddle. He's hit it twice at this point in his career, and if he plays well enough and long enough, he could hit it again, like for an end of the year kind of bridge scenario if he really wanted to. I think this deal, in even 4 months when we get our next round of contract extensions for quarterbacks, is going to look like a slam dunk for them. I think this is, you know, they paid a lot of money, but to get a proven guy that's borderline top 10 every year for this amount of money and not have to pay Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes money, that's pretty good.
It's excellent. This is a phenomenal play by the Falcons. I think the really unique thing to me that this all leads into, and I know some people are going to push back on this, whatever, I don't care. The unique part about this is the Falcons clearly were interested in Kirk Cousins from the very beginning. And so all the talk about Justin Fields to Atlanta seems like it was pretty much, maybe that's how I need to phrase this. What the hell just happened to Justin Fields? Because the two places that everybody was slotting him to both went and got veteran quarterbacks, and the Steelers, as long as Mike Tomlin can get Russell Wilson to stop acting like Russell Wilson, I think that's a great pickup for them, because one way or another, he either steps forward and plays well and leads that team to the playoffs and gives them some momentum going forward, revitalizing his career along the way, or he's a good enough mentor and a good enough guy to have in the QB room that he can help Kenny Pickett be the guy that they seem to think he could be. So win-win in that situation. But really, the biggest loser in this whole carousel so far, because Baker Mayfield re-ups with Tampa Bay, and that was the one that we talked about in Wednesday's episode about being a little bit of a mystery, and good for Baker for getting the bag as he was on his way out of the league. And, you know, the big thing is Justin Fields ends up being the biggest loser to me, because right now it seems it's very clear, and I don't believe it's a talent-based thing. I think this is the NFL telling the Bears, do it. You guys have talked and shuffled around. Just do it. Just draft Caleb Williams and see what we're going to take Justin Fields off your hands for, because it's going to be peanuts. Because I don't think anybody cares at this point in time about that. That seems to be the prevailing message that got sent by all these contracts and deals.
Yeah, I agree with that. Just to touch on those two deals that you mentioned, I think Baker to the Bucks makes sense. I got fooled by the funny money, as they say these days. I got fooled by the funny money, but if you'd like dig into Baker's contract and what he's actually making, it makes sense. He's making like Geno Smith money, which makes sense for him.
Where else was he going to get that from right now?
Like, yeah.
No other teams that were positioned in that.
Absolutely not.
Really, for Tampa Bay, it's a great setup, because what you get to do is you get to continue winning while you hunt for your franchise quarterback, whether it's a guy you think you have in-house right now or if there's a guy that you want to take a chance on. And we listed a bunch of Like, this is actually kind of a QB. I mean, here's the crazy part about it. What if Tampa Bay goes J.J. McCarthy when he's still there, if he's still there? I'm not likely that McCarthy's still there at 26, but maybe they trade up. Maybe they have some options. Maybe, I mean, what are the Giants going to do now at number six? Do you even dare go after a franchise quarterback right now if you're the Giants? Or do you just bite the bullet like the Broncos did and hit the rebuild button?
It'll be interesting to see. I cannot keep up with where your brain is going. You are all over the place, my man.
I am.
I want to focus just briefly on some of these quarterback moves. So we talked about Baker, Russ. I want to talk for Russ because you think it's a good move. I mean, I've just watched a lot of Russell Wilson. That offense, PFF put out this graphic, you know, the way they put out graphics of like, oh, check out this team. Check out the way this new look team looks this morning. Like all this crazy stuff. And the Pittsburgh Steelers offense looks like this. Russell Wilson, Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, Pat Freiermuth. And they, you know, the PFF account puts out the eye emoji. Here's what I see when I see that roster in the eye emoji. Let me just break it down for you really quick. Russell Wilson, a quarterback on the wrong side of 30 with massive throwing limitations. He basically can't hit the center of the field. A guy who Mike Tomlin can coach him up all he wants, but the most you're ever going to get out of him is league average to slightly above league average. Behind him is Kenny Pickett, a guy who regressed in year two. And, oh, by the way, you brought in Arthur Smith as your coordinator, who did not have a great track record in Atlanta. You can say he didn't have a quarterback, but these, you know, Desmond Ridder and Kenny Pickett, I will make the argument at this point in their careers, what's the big difference there? Kenny Pickett has a few more college stats to show. They're still very, very similar. Russ, I just don't know if it's going to work out. You know, Najee Harris looked washed for a majority of the year and only got better when they changed up the scheme. Jalen Warren's decent. Deontay Johnson hasn't scored more than 10 touchdowns in 3 years. George Pickens is this guy that we constantly hype up and makes these amazing catches occasionally, but is not a consistent performer. The best player on this offense is Pat Freiermuth. Like, I do not see it with the Steelers. I am really out on any and all Steelers hype. You know, we're going to talk a lot between now and when the season starts, Brian, and I can promise you one thing that you're going to figure out is I have pet teams and teams I'm really down on throughout the offseason. The Steelers are a team I'm really down on. I don't see the vision here. I mean, Mike Tomlin's got great job security because he's a great coach, but man, I mean, I hope you get another winning season. I hope you somehow luck into another winning season because I don't see that with this roster. A roster who, by the way, is losing cornerbacks left and right in free agency and cut Patrick Peterson and has massive holes to fill on that side of the ball. To me, I've seen this before. The Steelers are Broncos North. The Steelers are a team that had decades and decades of success. And then their franchise quarterback retired. He up and left. And they've been trying to fill the void with these guys they draft and these stop gaps. And you can only do that so long. If the Pittsburgh Steelers want to return to greatness, what they should have done was gone and given a bad to Kirk Cousins. I'd be more excited if they bought in Kirk Cousins. Or if you went out and you traded away some assets to trade up in the draft and select one of these quarterbacks this year. This is just another team that is playing with Band-Aids on gaping wounds, Brian.
They have 17 consecutive winning seasons.
Okay, they haven't won a playoff game in 5 years.
How long has it been since the Broncos have won a playoff game?
a little bit longer, but right. Same difference. Not making but the playoffs and like,
let me just finish on this one because I see what you're saying. What you're saying is that being mid is a problem in the NFL, and that's what the Steelers are, is they are a mid football team, right? They are trending towards the direction of pushing their fans into apathy because they are a middle-of-the-road team with a few talented stars that has never really seriously competed for an NFL championship. Is that a clear interpretation? Because I think lumping the Steelers in with the Broncos, albeit I get what you're trying to do with that metaphor, I think that's very drastic. And that's the bigger point that I want to make, is that this is a franchise that's continually churned and won and fought through all these. Everybody thought that they were going to suck this year, right? I don't think that everybody thought that the Steelers were going to be a playoff team this year. Now, injuries and a few other things really hampered them. But at one point in time, this is the same Steelers team that beat the Ravens and beat them convincingly. So I have a hard time with the idea that signing Kirk Cousins is any more than just stitches instead of a Band-Aid. Because I think if you're correct, right, and let's explore this a little bit from
who gives them a better chance to win a playoff game and be an AFC contender?
Kirk Cousins, hands down, without a doubt. But that's not what I'm trying to say here, because the problem is that you've invested all this time
what are you trying to do as a franchise?
You're trying to figure out if Kenny Pickett's the guy. That's what you're trying to figure out.
Okay, I fundamentally disagree with that stance, because Kenny Pickett has shown through 2 years and about 18 starts at this point that he does not have it as an NFL quarterback. And if you cannot consistently beat out Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph, then what are you doing while evaluating your quarterback? They're not evaluating quarterback correctly. That is my critique of the Steelers.
They never really have had to, right? Like, I think that's the difficulty with Steelers is Roethlisberger just showed up and was great for 15, 16 seasons. And so this group that's running the Steelers now has never really had to do that. And so this could be 100% correct. I don't disagree with that at all. What I do wonder is this roster good enough with Kirk Cousins to win an NFL championship, to win the Super Bowl? Because I don't feel like it is. Not quite yet.
It's probably not. But I bet Deontay Johnson would be better. And I bet George Pickens would be more consistent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the hope that bringing Russell Wilson into the fold does for you, right? Like that.
Yeah, but I mean, he could bear, like.
You and I are on the same page. I need to back off and say I there's nothing about Russell Wilson that in my eyes, from my perspective, says, yes, he's a can-do guy. He's going to buy into the team mantra. He's going to do all this because he's never done that. Never. He basically torched the entire Broncos franchise, wiped his tail end as he walked out of there with the $85 million and said sayonara, right? Like that dude is all about Russell Wilson. So I think a lot of the things that I'm saying, I don't believe in, but that's the Pittsburgh perspective, right? Is they view it as like, well, this is what we think can happen. And maybe Russ has a bond with Mike Tomlin, where Mike Tomlin can actually make Russ be a decent teammate. But it sure wasn't there with Sean Payton. And you were in one of the greatest, most culturally rich organizations in the Seahawks, and you basically burned all the bridges there as well, right? Guys couldn't wait to get you out the door, even though you'd won them Super Bowls. So you're right, right? Like, I want to say that to be very clear. You're right. This is the line in the common sense and the conventional wisdom that the Steelers are going through, though.
All right.
And I don't think it hurts to have a guy like Russell Wilson as the backup, or at least pushing guys in camp. And maybe this is what they feel like they have to do for Kenny Pickett to really play up to his potential.
Yeah, we're also on different pages on Kenny Pickett. You know, I've seen enough.
You and I are not. But what I'm saying is I'm pitching this from perspective of what the Steelers feel. I would have gotten rid of Kenny. Kenny Pickett a long time. I never liked the pick in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. I appreciate you trying to take it from the NFL team's perspective, Brian. I just take it from my perspective because I am self-centered. all right.
That's why it's the end zone universe, man. That's why you run this thing.
All right, yes. Justin Fields, I'm with you. I don't think we see a move until draft day at earliest. That would be my guess. To me, this feels like a mid-June. We're the NFL. We're bored in mid-June. We're about to go on July 4th vacation. Okay, let's trade Justin Fields to the Raiders for like a sixth and just move on with our day. Like that feels like where this is heading. And yeah, it's just because, you know, the evaluation is that this quarterback class is great. Yeah, that's what the evaluation is, I guess, at this point. And I like Justin Fields a lot, but, you know, I see people say, who are a lot smarter than me, that he struggles with some of the stuff Rush struggles with, like hitting the middle of the field and being consistent in that way and being a guy that you need to tailor an offense to. And the other part of it is that, you know, if you're looking for a stopgap guy that you can just plug in and play your offense, that is not what Justin Fields is. He needs an offense built around him for him to succeed. And a lot of teams, if you didn't make that pick yourself, I don't think the teams really want to invest and do that.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what the league is telling the Bears, is we're not going to sacrifice any of our weapons or any of our draft capital or any of our assets to bring him on board, because everything you said, right? Justin Fields can be functional with assets around him. I think there's some similarities with him. Obviously, he's a better athlete, but and I'm not trying to compare Justin Fields to Kirk Cousins, but what I'm saying is that Kirk Cousins with weapons around him is more than capable. That's a really plus positive option, right? And we're seeing that Justin Fields, if you put talent around him, if you put weapons around him, there is potential for him to be, you know, a top 15, top 20 quarterback, which we can argue if that's good enough or not. For some franchises, it's all they're ever going to get, because there's only so many absolute alpha QBs that are out there. The bottom line is that I don't feel like if at this point in time, the teams who had quarterback questions or controversies or needs have essentially filled them. And so why would you go after Justin Fields with anything other than just like a handful of mid-round picks?
Yeah, I think that's an absolutely fair point. All right, we spent a lot of time on quarterbacks. I do feel like the quarterback carousel is going to turn a lot more with guys that are more backups and kind of bridge guys between the time we talk now and the time we talk Wednesday. I think we're going to see a lot more guys there. So let's move on to really the biggest part of the day, which was running backs. Ton of running backs got signed. I'm just going to run through them all really quick. You could tell me what kind of stands out. Tony Pollard gets signed to the Titans. Saquon Barkley heads to the Eagles. Josh Jacobs gets signed with the Packers. The Packers then cut Aaron Jones. Gus Edwards, I believe, signed with the Chargers, reuniting with, oh my God, why is his name escaping me?
Greg Roman,
reuniting with Greg Roman, the former Baltimore offensive coordinator in Los Angeles.
And to clarify, Roman is, he's the running backs coach out there, right? He's not the offensive coordinator.
Oh, no, I was unaware. Yes, running backs coach.
I think. We're getting IT on this right now. We're getting research on this.
Oh, and DeAndre Swift went to the Bears.
Roman is the offensive coordinator for the Chargers.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You're right. For some reason, I thought he didn't get the OC title, but the more important part about it is that the man in charge is going to be Jim Harbaugh, and so that's going to be,
you know, yeah,
whatever people don't like about Greg Roman, it's not going to matter as much because Harbaugh is going to be running the show.
Yep, no doubt.
biggest things that stand out to me is just Aaron Jones getting cut. That was a little bit of a surprise because he was so prolific for them in the playoffs. But I guess if you've got a choice between Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones, you're going to upgrade. Saquon to the Eagles, bit of a surprise as well. I don't know, man. It just feels like for all the talk and discussion we had about running backs, it seems like running backs were flying off the board quick this go-around. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I also think that's because the draft class is weak. And
yeah, it is.
There's not a ton of guys in there. But also, you're seeing these guys, and
it's, you know, they're not making, you know, a ton of money. They're making
Austin
like
Eckler getting $11 million.
Like, yeah, but that's over 2 years, and that's with incentives. These guys are making like $6 million a year at most.
Yeah, but wasn't he looking for like $40-50 million last year?
Yeah, like these, like if you like, but the league market has reset, and these guys have just, they did their little Zoom call or whatever, and that was cute, but they realize they have to take what the NFL gives them, and that's $6 to $11 million contracts, which is what you're going to get if you're a veteran running back. Of all these, the one I like maybe the most is Tony Pollard. I think he never really fully got a chance to recover from his injury, and so much was put on him in Dallas. I do feel like a change of scenery and a year removed from that injury is going to help him out. I like the Titans having him as an option. I don't know how great that offense is going to be in general, but I think it's a decent, you know, a decent running back to plug and play. DeAndre Swift, I mean, but the Bears, he's the one guy that got overpaid. I mean, the fact that the Bears paid him
to go play for a losing team,
paid him what they did, is kind of ridiculous. I mean, I'm a big DeAndre Swift guy. The thing with him will always be health. We will see how that plays out, but you know, it adds a playmaker to a Chicago offense that needs playmakers. So that's solid in my eyes. I'm with you. I did not love the Saquon move. The Pennsylvania teams, Brian, I'm out on them. I'm just out on both Pennsylvania teams. I think you've seen enough terrible stories come out about Nick Sirianni and the way he managed the end of that last season and how things fell apart. But they can switch up their coordinators all they want. They've got the wrong guy running the show, and he's got a quarterback that I think has probably a massive confidence issue at this point, just because of the amount of regression that happened for Jalen Hurts between the Super Bowl year and last year. And, you know, AJ Brown can say he's happy, but it's a long summer. Like, you've got a lot going on, not to mention your offensive line is now a question mark because, you know, Jason Kelce is gone and it's a young group, and sure, how he can draft and replace all he wants, but it's a younger and more experienced offensive line now with a big hole at center. And I mean, Fletcher Cox retires. I mean, he's a big leader on the defense. It's a team in flux, but I don't know if it has a solid voice right now. And I don't know if I love the head coach quarterback pairing. And I'm not a huge fan of the direction the Eagles are going in. I think to pay Saquon Barkley is a mistake. I just wonder kind of the direction they're in. And hey, who knows? Maybe we'll be singing Howie Roseman praises yet again once we get to the draft. But I just feel like
lost Keith Byers on free agency. That was supposed to be the big midseason acquisition that was going to make the defense better, right? Like I don't,
yeah,
like, I don't want to question Howie Roseman, but it's curious. Things feel very curious right now. I'm not sure what direction they're headed in.
I'm not sure exactly the plan. I think running it back more or less for a third time seems like a really short-sighted move. I think that maybe you, I hope they draft some more offensive talent. I hope they draft offensive line. I just I'm interested to see what the Eagles do. RK's an Eagles fan, so I'll we'll bug him more about that Wednesday. But yeah, that this is that that's kind of where I stand on all the running back moves. I did, you know, Josh Jacobs to the Packers looks great. Aaron Jones, by the way, sneaky old, 29 years old. Josh Jacobs is only 26. So
That's a clear upgrade. It was a pretty healthy. It seems to me that the Packers are very determined to have a great running game to assist Jordan Love, and Josh Jacobs has been productive, right? Like we haven't seen him slow down at all. He's not quite at that. You hit the age marker. Like he's still 26, still young enough. Hasn't he's not overloaded with carries either. So clear that that was a priority. The other thing too is, it almost kind of feels like because the Packers have built so much through the draft, they have the ability to splurge a little bit. I don't, and with the plethora of wide receiver talent in the draft, like you don't want to go splurge on wide receiver in this draft class or this free agent class, right?
yeah, and I honestly don't think they'll splurge on wide receiver in the draft either because David Bakhtiari is gone. That happened. They cut him. So you
Writing
got to
was on
find.
the wall with that one, though, right? Because he
Yeah,
just
writing was
got
on the
picked.
wall, but they do, you know, we talk about there are tackles at the end of the first round and guys in the second round that could rise to the end of the first round. They seem like a prime candidate to me to reach for one of those early second round guys with their late first round pick and take a tackle. I think that makes a lot of sense for them to do. That's kind of where I'm at with the Packers. But again, you know, they did really well. One thing I didn't put on here, Carlton Davis got traded from the Bucks to the Lions, which is funny because the Bucks are like mini, like you said, mini rebuilding, but winning while they do it. Like the move for the Lions, definitely needed a solid cornerback and got that in Carlton Davis. I'm looking through the rest of these. Is there anything on here that really jumps out to you? Chris Jones got a new deal. The Kansas City playbook, again. Let me just lay this out for you, Brian, and use my new favorite phrase, Kansas City playbook. Sign defense, pay for defense, draft like two wide receivers in the first three rounds, run shit. Like, that's how this is going to go. Ladd McConkey, you are a Kansas City Chief. You know, we are hurtling towards the Chiefs having a bunch of new, young, fun wide receiver weapon toys that will work through the season while the defense stays elite. The rich get richer.
They do, and honestly, there's just not a lot of players the caliber of Chris Jones out there, and what he's able to do in Spagnuolo's system, I think, is just perfectly built for one another, right? Like he can move outside, he can rush the pocket from the interior. He's stout in the run game. It does feel like that defense really just found their groove towards the middle and end of the season and all the way into the Super Bowl. And you know, why not secure that defense for another couple of years? Like you said, spend on defense, draft for offense, because guess what? You've got his heirness, Patrick Mahomes the second, who can make everybody that much better on offense. Well, I guess not everybody, but you know, outside of Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Kadarius Toney. One thing that does stand out to me about this was Brian Burns traded to the Giants for a second and a fifth. Woof. That is rough.
Yeah, I mean, they had no capital. They needed capital. And
I think the
now
rough
they.
part about it is you had a chance to trade him last year for what was being reported as multiple first round picks, right?
Yeah.
So,
Very tough.
busy
But
day in free agency.
yeah, busy day in free agency. But remaining free agents list is bleak. Let me read you Greg Rosenthal's top 10. Danielle Hunter, Tyron Smith, Calvin Ridley, Leonard Williams, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Kendall Fuller, Marquise Brown, Stephon Gilmore, Patrick Queen, Jacoby Brissett. That's where we're at. That's.
Jacoby Brissett's off the board, right? Signed with the
Oh,
Patriots.
I may have missed that.
Yeah, that news just broke.
Okay, cool. Well, Jacoby Brissett, congratulations on your nice, you know.
Yeah, 1 year, $8 million contract. So, wee.
All right.
Breaking news on the podcast is always a little tricky.
Yes, Jacoby Brissett to the Patriots. Wow, what exciting news! The Seahawks have also agreed to terms with Leonard Williams as I scroll good old Ian Rappaport's Twitter feed. Anything else in here that we really missed while we were recording?
What do you think happens with Danielle Hunter? Still a productive player last year, right?
I think what happens with all these edge rushers, you know, the Melvin, what's his name?
Ingram.
The Melvin Ingrams of the world and stuff. These guys last until like May. Like, I don't think any of these. I won't lie to you. Of all those players I just read, I think like four of them probably sit on the market until after the draft. I think things are really going to quiet down outside of the. I think the most interesting position left to look at is quarterbacks and safety, because safety is pretty deep. Safety is pretty deep in this class. Like, you wonder where Justin Simmons goes. Oh, and then we'll finish with that. The Broncos do, you know, what I've been begging for about 5 years, and just accepted failure, except they couldn't even do that right, because even if they draft a rookie quarterback, they're not going to have the advantage of a rookie contract, because you're paying Russell Wilson $40 million. Always fun. But, I mean, hey, they did what they had to do. They got rid of Jerry Jeudy. As I've long said, an overrated malcontent who was always a film darling, and you were like, man, he is getting so open. And yet, struggled with drops and never had his quarterback trust him. So at some point, you kind of think, oh, maybe he's not as great as we think. Really struggles with press coverage. Was one of these Alabama trio wide out guys, but really didn't pan out to much. Justin Simmons, that was sad. He's a legendary Bronco. I hope he signs with the contender. But yeah, no, I mean, the plan is very clear. They are looking to suck, and they will suck.
The good news is the Broncos just gave you a hall pass for this season.
Yep. I'm looking for a new team. So that's
you and me, baby. We're going to be mercenaries. We'll jump on whatever wagons we want for.
That's something. I mean, ruled out, obviously, are the Chiefs and Raiders. Yeah. Never.
No division teams.
Oh, well.
Let's get you somewhere new. And
brother, I'm always.
Maybe
a
some
Charger.
Dolphins. Get you some.
Brother,
more.
I've been a Chargers fan my whole life.
That's true. Hey, if ever there was a time to get on the Chargers wagon, now might be.
Maybe it. I do need to buy some Chargers merch.
Show me your lightning bolt.
Yes. All right, that's it. That's a podcast. God, I wanted this to be 30 minutes. It went 52 minutes long. So that's what we're doing. We're getting out of here. Wednesday, we're going to get together and we'll discuss some winners and losers. Expect that one to be shorter. And then, yeah, we'll get out of here. We'll start draft positional previews next week. I, Brian, am going to go YouTube wide receiver highlights. So I asked Ryan if there were any guys not on his list that he would encourage me to watch. He sent me some. I will read them to you. And before you jump off here, tell me if I'm missing anyone here. Everyone listed on that Google document, I will watch or do my best to watch some of. He also added Jalen McMillan, Troy Franklin,
Washington.
Malachi Corley, and Aurelius Smith. Not sure how to say that, Texas A&M. Anyone not listed there that's a sleeper that I should be in on?
I think you've got a pretty good group right there for this week.
Cool.
There are some other names that we can get to, but focus on those ones for now. I don't want you going into FCS football quite yet.
Let's take a break. I have no interest in watching Trey, in watching North Dakota State highlights.
Someday we all will right, all pass on.
But that
no one wants to think about it. It's week, an uncomfortable everyone. Topic. We will see. But it's important to take care of Wednesday. You and your loved ones when that day comes.
That's right, Eric. Fortunately for our listeners, we know of a great guy that can help you set up your wills and trusts.
Absolutely, Trey. Our friend Andrew McCullough has you covered. You can find him on Twitter at AMCCULLOUGH105. His DMs are open, and he and the folks at Brindley Sullivan can help you take care of you and your family's estate planning needs. Don't just take our word for it, though. Here is University of Utah star and current draft prospect, Britton Covey, to tell us more.
Hey guys, Britton Covey here. As my long time at the University of Utah is coming to a close, it's time for me to start thinking about my future. There's no one I trust more than Andrew McCullough at the firm of Brindley Sullivan for my estate planning needs. Give his office a call to set up a free consultation at 435-673-9220. Andrew's firm is headquartered in St. George, but he spends plenty of time along the Wasatch Front taking care of his needs. So call him and tell him that Britton Covey sent you.
More info at trustyourtrust.com.